Welcome to American Mosaic from VOA Learning English. I'm Katie Weaver. Today, we are talking about the 2014 MTV Video Music Awards. And later, we talk about what may be a dying pastime in the United States. Digital technology may drive drive-in theaters out of business. I got the eye of the tiger, the fire, dancing through the fire, 'cause I am the champion, and you're gonna hear me roar. It was a big week for the entertainment industry in the United States. On Monday night, the Emmy Awards honored the top stars and projects in television. But the fun really began Sunday, when the cable network MTV presented its yearly Video Music Awards. That event took place in Inglewood, California. And the stars came out for the ceremony. But who stole the show? In other words, which artists got the most praise or attention for his or her attendance or performance? Drunk in love, we'd be all night. Now sing up. Singer Beyoncé was among the best-received artists of the night. She closed the show with several hit songs. She got the crowd up on its feet to dance. But the crowd really loved the appearance of Beyoncé's family. Her husband, rapper and producer Jay-Z, and their 2-year-old daughter, Blue Ivy, came to the stage to present the singer with the Michael Jackson Vanguard Award. I came in like a wrecking ball. I never hit so hard in love. All I wanted was to break your walls. All you ever did was wreck me. Yeah, you wreck me. Miley Cyrus also had a good night at the VMAs. Her video for the song Wrecking Ball won the top honor, Video of the Year. And industry critics praised her later for the way she accepted the award. Cyrus brought a young homeless man to the show as her date. She also asked him to go up on stage to receive her award. Jesse Helt took the moment to appeal for help for homeless children in America. Police are reportedly seeking Mr. Helt for violating a court order linked to a sentence he received for trespassing. And last but not least, Katy Perry has been the subject of much press this week. Everyone was talking about what she wore and whom she brought to the VMAs Sunday. Perry wore a long dress made completely of denim material. And her date, the rapper Riff Raff, wore a denim suit. The couple copied the style of Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake at the American Music Awards in 2001. Perry tweeted to Spears about her look for the show. Spears tweeted back with praise. "You looked amazing tonight," she wrote. Britney Spears was not the only one pleased with Katy Perry Sunday night. Perry's Dark Horse won Best Female Video.
Let's rage. And here you were, you were gonna come to me.
And here you are,
but you better choose carefully.
Cause I'm
capable of anything, and everything.
Make me your effort.
So, did you see the clothing Katy Perry and Riff Raff wore to the VMAs? What did you think? Would you wear denim to an important event? Let us know and practice your English writing skills in the comments section below. We will let you know how you did. I'm Katy Weaver.
'Cause I'm coming at you like a dark horse.
More and more movie theaters around the world are replacing older equipment with modern technology. The new equipment heightens the movie watcher's experience. The images are sharper, the sound is clearer. But what is happening to the less wealthy and much rarer drive-in theaters around the country? We go to the central state of Indiana to find out.
Oh, we got three kids.
It is Friday, and the sun is setting over LaSalle County. The sunset signals that it is time for another show at the Route 34 drive-in. A drive-in is an outdoor theater where people watch movies while sitting in their cars. Thousands of such theaters existed in America in the middle of last century. The Route 34 Theater opened in Earlville, Indiana, 60 years ago. Its owner, Ronald Magnoni, says now only a few drive-ins are still in operation.
At one time there was 5,000 drive-ins. Right now there's about 388 left.
The popular Route 34 drive-in appeals to hundreds of moviegoers a week in the summer. The property has about 2 hectares of space for cars. Mr. Magnoni first started working at the drive-in in 1987. In 1994, he bought the business. He says Route 34 has survived a lot in the last 60 years. There have been major repairs.
That's the third screen right there behind me. The first one blew down. The second one, half of it blew down when they were running a movie. And I had a tornado here. It almost took mine down again.
But what a windstorm did not claim, technology might. The movie magic appearing weekly on Route 34's huge outdoor screen comes from an old film projector built in the 1950s. The equipment soon may be unusable as more companies stop providing movies on film. Many movies are now played with digital technology. Ronald Magnoni says that may be too costly for him and his business.
The machine that I need costs $70,000. I don't have the kind of resources that these big chains have.
It is a problem many independent theater owners face. The move to digital technology places many of them in difficult positions. It can threaten the design of old buildings and historically important structures. The Patio Theater in Chicago is an example. Dimitri Kouvalis is the owner.
The Patio Theater is an old school classic movie palace from a bygone age where you don't see many of these theaters left, not only in Chicago, but in the whole country.
The Patio Theater now has a digital film player, thanks to donations of $50,000. The change helps ensure the theater's future. But drive-in owner Ronald Magnoni does not support digital technology.
There's no flicker to it. The people look too good. It doesn't look like a movie.
But he knows he will have to accept the new system if he wants to stay in business. Most movie companies plan to stop providing film by next year. So, Mr. Magnoni has been seeking donations to buy the equipment. He says he has received about 30% of the money he needs. Finally, on Monday, America celebrates Labor Day. It is a day in which workers are celebrated. So we are remembering one of the United States' greatest labor leaders. A. Philip Randolph is known for combining the labor and civil rights movements. Randolph became involved with unions in 1925. A group of black workers on passenger trains asked him to organize a union, the Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porters. Randolph was not a laborer. He was the college-educated son of a minister. He published a socialist magazine in New York City. He was known as a fighter for black rights. Randolph strongly believed that economic conditions affected rights and power for African Americans. For 12 years, Randolph fought the Pullman Company that employed the passenger train workers. In 1935, Pullman finally agreed to negotiate with the Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porters. 2 years later, the Porters Union signed the first labor agreement between a company and a black union. A. Philip Randolph led the Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porters for 43 years. In 1957, he became vice president of the AFL-CIO. Randolph used large group protests to change work conditions. He planned marches on the Capitol in Washington to protest the unequal treatment of black workers by the government. In 1963, Randolph planned the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom. At this huge, peaceful gathering, civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. made his famous "I Have a Dream" speech. Within a year, the Civil Rights Amendment passed, guaranteeing equal rights for blacks and other minorities. I'm Katie Weaver. Do you have a question about American life, people, or places? Let us know, and we'll try to answer it on a future show. Send an email to learningenglish@voanews.com. Thanks for joining us.